of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben. And from now till 9 p.m., I'll be with you. Last week, I was not available, but tonight, by the grace of God, I'm here. All right, we'll be talking about some of the news, some of the things happening in the world, and then we'll be continuing the series that we've been talking about regarding our Christian life. If we are still Christians, challenging ourselves, motivating ourselves, encouraging ourselves. Well, the news first. I mean, a lot of things happening in the world. If you follow the world news, certainly you'll be seeing that things are not the same. So many strange things happening in the world. We've moved to levels where the lawlessness is just increasing by the day. Sometimes you just ask yourself and wonder, where is common sense in a lot of things we see? I mean, it's as if there's no common sense again. But that's the world we are in. Let me start first with the Indian news, where we have, you know, first, you know, the extreme weather, earthquakes. I mean, now it's becoming, I mean, sometimes I just don't even talk about it again. It's just a lot. It's just a lot. If you check usgs.gov, I mean, you can check it, those who have access to the net, just to see for yourself the number of weeks today alone, and then for the week, and you'll be amazed to see the numbers. Extreme weather, so many things happening, wars, rumors of wars, Ukraine war is all still ongoing, Russia, Ukraine, the tension keeps worsening. Israel is also having issues with the Palestinians. You know, there's no peace in the world, technically, if you look at it that way. There's no peace in the world. But then, you know, the way Christians are being persecuted in India is quite worrying. Let me start with that one. Christians beaten to death in wave of violence. Evangelical group issues call for peace. So an evangelical group in India is calling for peace after 58 Christians were killed. Dozens of churches were burned and tens of thousands of Christians were forced to flee their homes due to ethnic violence in Manipur, a state in northeastern India that is home to more than 2.5 million people. The violence has been attributed to ongoing conflicts between the predominantly Hindu, Maasai ethnic community and Christians. Evangelical Fellowship of India General Secretary, the Reverend Vijay Yesh Love, said in a statement shared with the Christian Post that the organization is deeply saddened and concerned by the recent events that are unfolding in Manipur. We call for peace and an end to the violence and unrest in the region that has caused such devastating consequences and immense suffering to the people. We urge the government to take immediate measures to restore peace and ensure the safety and security to all of its citizens. He added that as a Christian body representing the evangelicals in India, we stand for the values of love, peace, and justice. We believe that every human being is made in the image of God and deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. The recent incidents of violence go against these values and have caused great harm to the people of Manipur. We call upon all parties involved to exercise restraint and work towards a peaceful resolution of the issues. We urge the people of Manipur to avoid forces that instigate division and cause polarization. We also appeal to the state and the union government to engage in constructive dialogue with all stakeholders to address the underlying causes of the conflict. Lau concluded by praying for God's comfort and healing for those who have been affected by the violence. And that's quite significant. 58 people, Christians, killed. And then this headline, you know, now it's as if all of a sudden the transgender movement is making lots of inroads in the Western world and all that. And this headline, Colorado University tells students to assume everyone is transgender. So the student body, they should assume every student, everyone in the school is transgender. And you keep seeing school upon school just going down the drain in terms of this transgender movement. This week I read the news of Honorable Sam George, who was saying that he's been placed on the money laundering list. So he traveled to Dubai, and when he put his passport out, he wanted to change dollars to the local currency. He's been blacklisted, so he can't change dollars. The blacklist of this MP is based on the fact that he's getting conservative funds from the US, so it's money laundering. So and this is instigated by the pro-LGBT people, you know, because of he's leading this whole anti-LGBT bill in our parliament. But you see, they just attack, and they are trying to malign anyone who just goes, tries to stop them and all that. It's quite unfortunate. But then the worrying part, you see, when you have those in authority who are also pushing, using their power to enforce these things, where there's a case in the U.S. where it says, shock ruling by judge. Pride parade for students can be mandatory. You know, June is the Pride month, so, you know, they'll be doing their various Pride marches, and some schools should be taking part and all that. And let's listen to this one. It says, a parental war against the school's decision to forcibly indoctrinate 4-year-old students into LGBT ideology is continuing, even though a judge in the case already has issued a radical ruling that the agenda for alternative sexual lifestyle choices essentially is Christian. Interesting. The fight developed when Christian parents Izzy and Shane Montag objected to their child's former school, Heavers Farm Primary School in London, forcing the 4-year-old into an LGBTQ-themed pride parade. The Christian Legal Center helped in the fight after the school mandated participation in the ideological agenda, told the pride events only shortly before the promotions occurred. The parents were accused of being bigoted, and even were told that participation was a legal requirement. Interesting. Ultimately, 182 students were withdrawn from the activities by the parents. But when the dispute reached an initial court level, Circuit Court Judge Christopher Lehem plunged headfirst into LGBT advocacy. He issued a ruling wildly claiming that there was little in the Pride Parade that was inconsistent with Montague's Christian beliefs, and even claimed a poster, "Some people are gay, get over it." Actually, what Christian teaching, that's what Christian teaching advocates. So school officials during testimony claimed Christian views about homosexuality are homophobic, and in their emails to each other charged Christians with concerns about the school's leftism were bigots. According to the legal team, the head teacher also commented on the views of one parent who objected to their child's participation in the pride on religious grounds, stating that it was because of such parents that the pride parade must be mandatory. Interesting. The school, in fact, smeared the Montagues, that's the family, belief, stating, "This parent really does have a strange and offensive take on the world. We are working hard to make sure that the children in our school don't share these views." The family accused the school of breaching the Equity Act 2010 and the Human Rights Act, but the judge ruled against that argument. And then on and on, they lost the case, but they said, "We are going to appeal." You know, maybe Godwin, next week, if I remember, I'll play an audio in which a plan, one of the UN plans, is, you know, it's so vividly annoying when you listen to it and you watch the video. You know, the actual plan is by 9 years, children should be having sex. That's the plan of the UN. I mean, that's how, yes, you heard me right. By 9 years, by nine, age nine, that's the plan, the ultimate agenda that they have for the world. By nine, children below nine should be having sex. And, you know, it's so ridiculous for adults to be thinking this way and to be pushing this agenda. You see, there's a systemic plan to really destroy the children. I mean, they are working hard at it. Fortunately, Africa, we seem to have a little, like, we are a bit off the normal agenda they are pushing because of our cultural values seem to be so strong. And they are not happy at all. I mean, the West, I see when the U.S. Vice President came here, went to other countries, you know, they are just not happy with the way Africa is protecting their children. I mean, that's how serious it is. They wish our children would be destroyed like those in their country, you know. And in recent times, if you look at some of the content of the books they are using in some of these countries, you know, I mean, if you have relatives in this Western country, US, Europe, and all, I mean, I'm giving you an assignment. Pray for them, pray for their children. I mean, so you have nephews, nieces, you know, cousins who are schooling in these developed countries, they really need a lot of prayer, because virtually the children are surrounded by evil. And if, unfortunately, they are in public schools, it's even worse, because that one, government school, so the agenda is head, and I mean head on. They are intentionally indoctrinating them, intentionally. And it's as if suddenly teachers have become demons. A lot of the teachers in these countries are just demon-possessed. They are virtually destroying the children. I mean, this week I saw a teacher was showing a cartoon of one of the Disney cartoons which has a gay character in it. And the teacher is defending, the school is sanctioning the teacher for showing it. And she is defending the act that, well, it's a good thing she did. I mean, and I just wonder, how can you show a cartoon that has a gay character in it and you see nothing wrong with it? But that's the world. It's like now a lot of the teachers are liberals, so they are just pushing the agenda. There's been a lot of brainwashing over the period, and now it's being unleashed into the system. And it's really serious. The way they are really pushing the thing, extremely worrying. It's really, really, really serious. The next one, Transformers. It's a cartoon, I mean, where Transformers, like the robots, turns into a car, into a, like, transforms into a human, and then it can turn into a car. I'm sure some of you have seen that cartoon or those characters. Transformers goes woke. They are not leaving anything unturned, though. Non-binary robots pushes trans agenda. The show Transformers Earth Spark is based on Hasbro's beloved robot toys and is wildly popular among kids from the ages 2 to 11. Sadly, like almost all cartoons on TV today, it is pushing the ideology that gender is fluid and one can choose how they identify or not identify at all, such as non-binary. In a recent clip, the robot named Nightshade makes an introduction with they, them pronouns to a character named Sam, whose pronouns are she, they, she, and they. Sam then shared fears that sometimes the world can be a scary place. It's hard to know who is dangerous or not. She continued, I know I'm safe when I'm with my friends or other non-binary people. When Nightshade then questions what it means to be non-binary, Sam responds, people who aren't female or male. Sounding pleased, the robot then responds, I always knew my pronouns felt right, but what a wonderful word for a wonderful experience. The show creators did not stop there and saw it fit to reinforce this message in recent episode. Oh, I like your pins, and the robot said in a reference to the character's LGBTQ pins. Quote, I am Nightshade. My pronouns are they, them. So it's like the writing is placed on the chest. Thanks, I'm Sam. I'm she, they. But you already know that the character said, referring to her she, they pin on her bag. Conservative commentators Megan Kelly and Laura Ingraham were quick to condemn the show for its content and said the show is inappropriately shoving liberal ideologies down young kids' throats. Their clips on Twitter attacking the show have been watched over 6 million times. And that's a good thing. At least people have to know the truth. You know, the agenda is massive. I mean, sometimes maybe some can't really understand the seriousness of what we are talking about when we warn against what the content we let our children consume in the TV, on the TVs or from the TVs. It's that bad. It's that bad. They really mean to poison the children with this ideology. You know, and as I keep saying, because of our cultural values in Africa that they are not able to penetrate with their curriculum and their books and all that, they are finding other ways. See, and one of the ways we should be careful about is the entertainment, the media, like through the TV stations, the cartoon networks and all that, those movies, the Hollywood movies, the Disney movies, in the name of, you know, children programming, but they disguise these things and then push it in, knowing very well that a lot of parents are busy and they will not have time to be able to do proper scrutiny of the content their children are watching. You see, and it's that bad that parents should really be careful. Parents should be careful because it's like they are out there to destroy. So if we are not wise to know where to draw the line and we just follow these advancements in the name of, oh, it's a kids program, there's nothing wrong with it, it is safe, then we are running into trouble. And that's quite a worry. Yeah, let me get into some serious stuff here. The headline, the title is Shock Poll. Results show more than half of Christians are deceiving themselves. And that's quite serious. More than half of born-again Christians don't believe Jesus lived a sinless life. And that's the beginning of the problem. Because if you don't believe that, then something is wrong. That is what the respected George Barna survey tells us. Many people want to blame this sorry state all on COVID-19 when 15 million people stopped attending church in the U.S. As the apologetics website Got Questions explains, Jesus being sinless is central to the hope Christians have in him as Savior. It explains why it's so important to believe. If he was not God incarnate, Jesus would not be able to forgive sins. But he was able to do just that, as we are told in 1 Peter 2, 21 to 24. For even here unto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. That's 1 Peter 2:21-24. This is fundamental to the Christian life. If you don't truly believe it with every bone in your body, you don't know Jesus. Yes, simple. It can't be blamed on church attendance or COVID-19. Born-again Christians make up the backbone of church activity and a high level of commitment to their faith. But the study shows that between 2020 and 2023, the share of those who say they believe Jesus did not commit sins during his lifetime on earth fell from 58% to 44%. Wow, that's staggering. This shift in belief among born-again Christians was among six that showed a significant decline in the past 3 years, which Barna characterizes as indefensible. Those include the findings that fewer than half of born-again Christians now believe they have a unique God-given calling or purpose. The share of those who held that belief fell from 88% to 46% during the pandemic. Whoa. A downward trend was also observed among those who say the Bible is unambiguous in its teaching about abortion, falling from 58% to 44%. Those who say human life is sacred fell from 60% to 48%. And the number of born-again Christians who say God is the basis of all truth fell from 69% to 63% over the period. The share of born-again believers who say they are deeply committed to practicing their religious faith fell from 85% to 50%. Wow. While the share of those who say they read or study the Bible at least once a week fell from 60% to 55%. When it comes to the general population of U.S. adults, Barna said the share of the population that claims to hold a biblical worldview fell from 6% to 4% in the last 3 years. While less than half now claim to be deeply committed to practicing their religious faith, that measure fell from 60% to 48%. Most religious beliefs change over the course of generations, not a few years, Barna said. However, we know that major life crises have the capacity to introduce substantial change quickly in the foundations of people's faith. Perhaps we should describe this as the apocalypse of the church. Quote, the pandemic was certainly a life crisis for our nation. Even though this magnitude of spiritual shift was not expected, it is feasible, given the physical and psychological effects of COVID along with the economic, relational and lifestyle effects of the government's drastic policies, unquote, Barna explained. Bana previously warned in 2022 that a significant driver behind the decline in Christians holding on to a biblical worldview is syncretism, an ideology described as the worldview that merges otherwise incompatible philosophies of life into a made-to-order worldview that incorporates enough biblical elements to a minimally Christian in nature. Then, although some of the belief and behavior shifts seem to conflict with each other, this is precisely what happens when the prevailing worldview of the nation is syncretism, Banner said. Quote, syncretism does not rely upon logic or consistency, unquote, he said. Over time, many people struggle with the conflicts inherent in their syncretistic belief system and strange jumble of behaviors that merge from these beliefs. But for the foreseeable future, it's likely most people will ignore their incompatible philosophies and make do the best they can. They are seeking comfort and security more than spiritual and intellectual consistency. Yes, they are not willing to give their lives to God, yet it's the only thing that can save them. As John 10:10 tells us, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And this statistics is quite serious. I keep saying it and saying it all the time that if we are to do these statistics here in Ghana, I dare say we may have similar or close. I mean, the margin, the percentage will not be that much, because the parallels are very, very similar. We are seeing the same pattern. Look at church attendance now. It's dropped across most churches. Church attendance is not the same compared to pre-COVID. Something is just not right. There is a lot of lukewarmness. People's attitude to church is now something else. Generally, Christians have become slow, dull, lack of interest in real spiritual stuff. And see, this is the serious part of it. And that's why I'm talking about these things in the last few series, 3-4 weeks. I mean, talking about, are we still Christians? Are you still a Christian? Because there's something happening in the body of Christ, and it's quite serious. Now let's talk about this one. This is the UK. This headline says, people living in UK among the least religious in the world, according to a study. As belief in God has died away, so too has belief in heaven. The UK has some of the lowest levels of religiosity and belief in God in the world, according to a global study spanning dozens of countries. The study by King's College London's Policy Institute found that large numbers of Britons do not believe in God, whilst those who say that God is not important to their life has reached record levels since the 1980s. Researchers found that belief in heaven and those praying and identifying as religious have also steadily fallen over the last 4 decades. The findings are from the World Values Survey, an ongoing study of social, political, economic, religious, and cultural values across 120 countries since 1981. The latest data set published this week compares data from the UK and 27 other countries, including the US, Italy, Sweden, Germany, France, Australia, China, South Korea, Japan, and the Philippines. In the UK, 3,056 adults across England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland were surveyed for the study by IPSOS, it's a system, between March and September 2022. The findings revealed that belief in God has declined dramatically among Britons, from 3/4 to God in 1981 to just under half, 49%, in 2022. Generation Z, that's those born after 1997, have the lowest levels of belief in God, 37%. But the study also found a significant decrease in belief in pre-war generation from 82% in 1981 to 59% today. Only five other countries had lower levels of belief in God than the UK. China, 17%, Sweden, 35%, Japan, 39%, South Korea, 41%, and Norway, 46%. Just a third of Britons consider themselves to be religious today, compared to 57% in 1981. Only Sweden, 27%, South Korea, 16%, China, 16%, and Japan, 14%, ranked lower in this respect. At the same time, the number of atheists in the UK has risen sharply from just 4% in 1981 to over 21% today. With the popularity of atheism accelerating in the last 5 years, Generation Z, as they call them, like those in the Generation Z zone, the category, were least likely to see themselves as religious, just 27% compared with 46% of the pre-war generation, and the most likely to identify as atheist, 31%, although atheism has risen across all age cohorts. Less than a quarter of Britons, that's 23%, say that God is important to their life. Wow, that's scary. Level with France, and higher only than South Korea, 17%, Norway, 16%, Japan, 14%, Sweden, 14%, China, 8%. The proportion of Britons who say God is not important in their life has doubled since the 1980s, from 28% to 57% in 2022, a record high. Less than a third of Britons, 31%, see religion as very or rather important to their life, ranking higher than only four other nations: Australia, 30%, Sweden, 28%, Japan, 15%, and China, 13%. In the UK, as belief in God has died away, so too has belief in heaven, falling from 57% in 1981 to 41% today. Belief in life after death has remained constant since 1981, with just only half of the population believing in this last year. Likewise, 26% of Britons said they believe in hell, remaining virtually unchanged over the last 4 decades. Despite being less religious than other generations, younger people are more likely to believe in life after death. 51% of Generation Z, 53% of Millennials, 52% of Generation X, and then compared with 35% of Baby Boomers and 39% of the pre-war generation. They are also more likely to believe in hell. 32% of Generation Z Millennials, compared with only 18% of Baby Boomers and 24% of pre-war generation. 2 in 5 Britons, that's 42%, say they believe in heaven, but this is lower than in many other countries, including Australia, that's 50%, and US, 69%. Levels of prayer and attendance at religious services were also found to be far lower in the UK than other countries. Only 1 in 10 people say they attend a religious service each week, changing little since 1981, but considerably lower than the US, 29%. And only 16% of Britons said they pray daily. Wow. Only 16% of Britons said they pray daily, ranking only above South Korea and China. The UK has also one of the highest proportions of people who say they rarely or never pray, 63%. Despite low levels of religious beliefs, the UK is one of the most religiously tolerant countries, with 82% saying they trust people of different faiths. The UK public are also among the least likely to say that their religion is the only acceptable religion, 12%. The study also found that confidence in churches and other religious institutions has risen in the UK in the last 5 years, from 31% to 42%. David Voas, a professor of social science at UCL, said, The findings point to both the long-established route and to some interesting complexity in our self-perception and who believes what. The main story remains that most people in Britain aren't very interested in religion. That said, the glass remains half full when it comes to belief in God or life after death. Adults under 40 are much more likely than older people to call themselves atheists, but also to say that they believe in hell, which is a fascinating puzzle. While the British seem comfortable with their widely shared lack of religiosity, they have little objection to others being different, at least in public affairs. The survey even shows an unexpected uptick in confidence in churches and religious organizations. Bobby Duffy, a professor of public policy and director of the Policy Institute of King's College London, said, "Our cultural attachment to organized religion has continued to decline in the UK, but our belief that there is something beyond this life is holding strong, including among the youngest generations. This reflects a long-term pattern where those who feel actively connected to organized religions have moved from the conscript army in previous decades, where many more felt it was an automatic part of life, to a more professional army, which are fewer in number but more dedicated in practice." This particular statement carries a lot of weight. In essence, quality of Christianity is very few, very few. That's what this professor is saying. "This is an important period. Generations continue to have lower attachment to moral religion. Many of them have similar or even greater need to believe that there's more than this." And of course, these sorts of international studies show that the decline of organized religion is not really a global story at all, as it continues to grow and flourish in many countries around the world. And these changes are really constrained to countries like the UK. This is really, really, really worrying. I don't know how you see it, but anyway, I'll be back after this song.
Thank you.
beautiful song by Twila Parry. God is in control. You know, it says, this is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose the vision here. Carried away by the motion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There is one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. God is in control. We believe that His children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside Him. We know God is in control. History marches on. There is a bottom line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan. Oh, but the line never changes. No matter how the deception may fly, there is one thing that has always been true. It will be true forever. He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? He is still the Lord of all we see. And He is still the loving Father, watching over you and me. Beautiful song by Twila Parry. You know, one thing, as I was reading the UK statistics and other countries' statistics, and then the earlier one about the US as well, one thing that comes to mind now, one question that comes to mind now is, what caused this change? This sudden drop in interest in Christianity, in God, in heaven, what caused this change? There should be something that triggered or that has triggered this massive onslaught on Christianity. There are a few things we can identify. I can identify off-head immediately. You know, they used the educational system. That was one thing that they did successfully. Removing God from the classroom, removing prayer from the classroom. See, it weakened the fundamentals for the children that were growing up in that, from that point onwards. You see, taking God out of the equation, what is left? Entertainment industry has successfully been able to contaminate the minds of people. We have all sorts of strange doctrines which has permeated the system, some questioning even the authenticity of the Bible, some questioning God, some questioning if Jesus was God. I mean, and as I read, I mean, now, so it's like some don't believe again that Jesus lived a sinful life. You see, so you have all sorts of doctrines that have come in to undermine the faith of believers, some believers. And then, you know, the economic situations, people go through situations that makes them wonder, where is God? And all that, they start questioning God, and then they give up on God. See, so all these things we are seeing happening, and these statistics to support it. Unconsciously, we have some of these showing in our country as well, where people are also leaving the faith. People are now, you know, questioning the Bible. Is this really the word of God? It's not just a white man's religion, white man's this, white. You know, we keep hearing these illogical arguments. The white man, they came with the gun. And then the Bible, they came with schnapp, and then the Bible, I mean, all these. Recently, someone sent me a message, and I was telling him that, you see, it's a vague argument because we have two sets of whites who came in during the colonial era. The traders were one, and then the missionaries were also, you see, two separate categories. Those who came to do business, and then those who came to win souls for Christ and bring the gospel. Those who came to bring the gospel, they didn't come to do business. And they died with all sorts of, from malaria and all sorts of things. Some died, and their children, knowing that or their parents died here. These people didn't come with money as their motive. They came purposely to bring the gospel. See, so when people make that argument that the same white man who brought the schnapp is the same white man who brought the Bible, to me, it's senseless. It doesn't make sense because it's not the same people. There are two sets of groups. The missionaries came purely, and the work of the missionaries, is the effect of it, is what we are still seeing in the country. As the Christians, I mean, the Christian schools, the Methodists, the Presby, all these things, the work of the missionaries. And the evidence is there. By all these arguments, suddenly, you know, and because of social media now, the internet, so it makes it easy for some of these debates and all these things going online, people are saying all sorts of. But you see, it will amaze you to know that, you see, some of these things is able to weaken the faith of the weak ones. So some, they were Christians, all right. But now they start listening to people like this, Abraham Moshe and all these funny guys. And now they begin to question the whole Christian thing. And then they fall away. They leave the faith. You know, so there's an agenda to undermine the faith. And it's coming from all various angles, false doctrines, which are also, you know, I mean, recently I saw someone, and he's a friend. I mean, he's in Accra, and he's busy doing a teaching on, you know, we are the Jews, we are the real Jews. And it's like, I keep asking myself that of all the things in the world, happening in the world, and all the important things we talk about, we being Jews is what is the important one to you. Doing a whole series on it and teaching the Israelites, the Jews in Israel now, present day Israel, they are fake ones, they are not the correct Jews. We, the blacks in Africa, just laugh. And I say, what has this got to do with our salvation? Whether I'm a Jew or I'm a what? Christ has come to die for us. Jew or Gentile makes no difference. But see, unnecessary things just to divert attention from the fundamentals, what is so important, now we lose focus and we are chasing unnecessary things. We won't call Jesus by his name again, all sorts of things. I mean, come on. You see, and it starts little by little, and then it begins to get poisoned, and then all sorts of strange things are added, and then gradually people are pulled away. You know, the deception is real. You see, so we really have to be grounded in the word. We have to make a conscious effort. Let me read. It's really, 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 it's worrying. I mean, that's a fact. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And let me add 14, verse 12. Romans 14, 12. So then, every one of us, everyone, he, Paul, included himself, every one of us, shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. You know, it's as though we are living, we are seeing a type of Christianity that is devoid of accountability. So it's as if there will be no accountability. We will not give account of our lives to anyone. We are just living, strive to live a good life, strive to get the best we can in this world, and then that is it. When we die, it's finished. You know, yes, that is where the problem is now, because you see, I once said it, but let me repeat. It's been a while I made that statement. That is, we have a lot of Christians who are functioning atheists. So they say they are Christians, but they are indirect atheists. They are functioning atheists because a lot of Christians now are living as if there is no God. They are living as if, I mean, there is no God to give account to. There is no fear of God. So, yes, we are in Christ. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. But the behavior and lifestyle, it's as if they don't believe in God. It's as if they don't fear God. It's as if there is no God. So that's why I said that a lot, some believers are functional atheists, because if you live as if there is no God, you are the same as the one who believes there is no God. I mean, fully opens his mouth and says that there is no God. But you say there is God. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and all that. And yet your lifestyle is as though you don't believe in God. It's virtually the same thing, because the end point is you don't believe you are going to give account to any God. You see, and it starts gradually, then it ends in the statistics that I read, where now the people don't even believe in, I mean, heaven again. They don't believe in all these things. So you see, we really have to start assessing ourselves. Where are we in our Christian faith? Are we still Christians? Or we are gradually shifting towards these beliefs and then eventually falling out completely? You see, you meet people on the streets, talk to people, everybody, oh, I'm a Christian. You see, people will gladly say they are Christians. In Ghana, I'm limiting it to Ghana. People will gladly say, I mean, if they are Muslim, they will say they are Muslim. But the average person you meet on the streets will tell you, oh, he's a Christian. It's just a few who are bold enough to say that, I mean, I don't believe in God, or, I mean, but gradually those numbers will also rise. But then now those who say they are believers, they are Christians, probe further, and you realize, I mean, it's as good as though they don't know anything, there's nothing Christian about their life. Nothing Christian about their life. They don't even bother to pray, they don't read the word of God, nothing about church, nothing about spirituality. They just identify, because when they are filling a form, religion, Christianity, they are feeling, going to an interview, what's your religion? Christianity. You see, so we just use the Christianity. People see the Christianity like a social club, a club that you just affiliate with or you just join, just for identification purposes. Oh, I'm a Christian. But you see, we are forgetting about the fact that it's not just about you calling yourself a Christian that makes you a Christian. It is the lifestyle that we live and exhibit. That is what people will see us to be Christians. So, the issue now is, are we being seen as Christians? It's not about, are we calling ourselves Christians? But this evening, the question you should ask yourself is, do people see you? Per your lifestyle, behavior, attitude, all that. Do people see Christ in you? That's the question. Food for thought. Think about it. You know, we should be worried about these statistics, especially what we are also seeing around us, because we are clearly seeing a decline in people's interest in spiritual things. I mean, Christians. So you realize that it's about... And you see, COVID was a precursor for some of... COVID started this whole sudden drop. And that's, in a lot of countries, the statistics point to the fact that COVID was the main starting point. So you see, when churches were closed, locked down, and all that, it then became the starting point for the decline and people's lack of interest and all these things, the psychological, social, all these things contributed to it. And see, so we are seeing something unfolding which we should make a firm commitment that we are not going to be drawn into that whirlwind, because it's like a whirlwind that is sucking in people people are losing their faith, people are complaining, blaming God, all this and all that and all this. But we should resist. We should resist and hold on to our faith. Anyway, God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. This is a recorded program. It will be put on Issues of Life, spiritissues.info, and those in the Telegram group, it will be uploaded there, Spirit Issues. And I'm Eben. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. We'll be continuing. We have to encourage ourselves. We have to question ourselves. We have to challenge ourselves. Because what is the essence of being a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, 5 years, 8 years, whatever, how many years it is? And when it matters most, I mean, you leave. Starting a race is not as important as finishing. The finishing is where the difficulty is. Jesus says, endure. He who endures to the end. Endurance. We need endurance. Good night, and God bless you.